The scripture reading today is from Luke 18, verse 9 through 14. He told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing afar off, could not even lift up his eyes to the heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted.
Well, it's my privilege today to be able to introduce our guest pastor preacher today. And in doing that, let me first of all say that this summer will be the third summer that our youth have been participating in some partnership mission work in St. Louis. And we've been partnering with a church in North County, St. Louis, called Calvary Bible Church. And so our students have been there, and they've been ministering there, and relationships have been built. And last year, the church at Calvary Bible Church invited Clark, since he has been there and gotten to know them, they invited Clark back to preach at their church. And so we've been looking for a good time to have the pastor from Calvary Bible Church come and bring the message at our church and build that relationship. And so today he is here, and I want to introduce Pastor Robert Lloyd, if you would just stand, and then also Pastor Farrakhan Shigog. And Farrakhan is the youth pastor at the church, and Pastor Lloyd, I'll be inviting you up in just a moment, okay? Thank you for being here today. I just want to say a few things about Robert Lloyd before he comes. And the first thing is that he is one of my world's best friends. I've known him for I don't know how many years. We met both being pastors in the north part of St. Louis and St. Louis County, and we became good friends. We have been involved in many times when churches have come together for special events, pastors coming together to partner together to better minister to the community. And I just want to say that Pastor Lloyd is truly not just the pastor of a church, but he's pastor for the people, at least in North County and North St. Louis both. Pastor Farrakhan, the youth pastor for the last week, has not even lived, I don't think, in your own home, because he's been in the parts of St. Louis that have been hit hardest by the tornadoes, helping with the cleanup work and living right there among the volunteers. And then Pastor Lloyd has been trying to hold down the church and unleash the church to be able to be in the community. We went through some racial and ethnic tensions while we were there and tried to work together as pastors. But my favorite thing, by the way, Robert Lloyd has a wife, Nikki, and three children. And so I don't want to forget that. But my favorite thing about memory of working with Pastor Lloyd was snow days in St. Louis. Our church held two services, an early service and a late service. And his church had one service, but he was actually meeting at that time in North St. Louis, and they just don't clean the streets very well in that part of town. And so, you remember this? There was at least two, maybe three times we had a lot of snow. And so what our church typically did is we would cancel early service and maybe have Sunday school, but for sure have second service. And so Robert's church would cancel, but they would come to our church. And so there were several times that Robert and I were on the phone on Saturday nights together, looking up scripture, talking about a scripture, trying to put a sermon together so that we could tag team a message on Sunday morning. And those are some, man, that was some of the best times I've ever had. But Pastor Lloyd, if you would come, bring God's word.
Need to go. There we go. That better? All right. Once again, I want to acknowledge Pastor Brandon. Thank you for allowing me to be here this morning. And to Pastor Jim, as he mentioned, we are very good friends. I love my brother. We've done a lot of work together in St. Louis, and it's such a blessing to be here with you all here in Springfield. And to these lovely young people that you all have who come and serve at Calvary, thank you all so very much. We really, really appreciate that. And believe it or not, St. Louis is so divided racially that to see you guys come to St. Louis and serve the way you do really inspires our community. And I have to say thank you. And it's my pleasure to be here with you all. Clark, you're the, let me say it this way, you're the bomb.com. Thank you so much. And to our own youth pastor, Pastor Farrakhan Shagag, I mean, this guy's the truth. He really loves and serves and pours out his heart. What he did not mention is his car was totaled in the tornado, his truck. You wouldn't believe it. It was just smashed. A building fell on top of it. It's just destroyed. I think you've only had it about a year or so. And so keep him in your prayers. And it's interesting. He's been sleeping in a rental car while his vehicle is total, serving the community. And just yesterday, they recovered a woman who they found in the basement of her house. They thought they were digging out a cat and found a woman. I tell you, thank you so much for all that you do. We appreciate you. And equally so, we're trying to find a space to have Pastor Brandon come to St. Louis. Will y'all come with him if we create a space for that to happen? So we're looking forward to that. But nonetheless, I'm here to preach, and I want to get to my text. Let me just say it to you like this. Culturally, people who look like me like a response. So here's what I'd like for you to do. If I'm preaching the Bible, not trying to make you feel good, but if I'm preaching the Bible, let's practice real quick. I like to hear amen. Amen. Oh, you all didn't give me, all right. That's good. I was going to ask you to say amen, and you did it. Now, here's the other thing I like. Can we clap real quick for Jesus? All right. Believe it or not, you are like me. I'm very cognitive. I like to read. And I love truth. Some people care about how you say things. I care less about that and more about what you say. And so hopefully I'll say something of substance to you from this passage that we have in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And for my subject, I call it the proper prayer. The proper prayer from this particular passage of scripture found in the gospel according to St. Luke. Let me just say a little bit about Luke, the gospel according to St. Luke, to kind of set this stage for this. If you notice, in the gospel of Matthew the writer, he does something very interesting. He traces Jesus' genealogy back to Abraham. He says things like, there are 14 generations from Abraham unto David, and 14 generations from David unto the carrying away into Babylon, and 14 generations from carrying away into Babylon unto Jesus. So he traces 42 generations back to Abraham. Why? Because he's talking primarily to a Jewish audience. And that is why he mentions the kingdom a lot, because the Jews are hoping to be delivered from the tyranny of Rome. And so they want a better kingdom, but they're looking for the wrong kingdom. They're looking to be the king of the kingdom that they're hoping for, not for the King of Kings, Lord of Glory. And so for that reason, he goes back to Abraham. But because I don't have time, let me just talk about the gospel according to St. Luke. Luke doesn't go all the way back to Abraham. He goes back further to Adam. And I believe because he has a different audience. I believe the audience that he's looking for is for people like you and people like me. Gentiles, all nations, all people, all colors, all creeds, taking us all the way back to Adam, because in Adam is all of us. All of us, black, white, Chinese, Latino, we're all found in Adam. So Luke wants to talk to us, and that is why it's called by some theologians, the gospel of outreach, because he's trying to reach all types of people. And in my text today, what is Luke dealing with? He's dealing with the guy who is very prideful. And the text says he goes up to the temple for prayer. Now that involves a lot more than just conversation. Doesn't involve just you talking to God. In fact, it also involved a sacrifice. They would not dare go to the temple to pray without first having a sacrifice. And let me just say to you today that your prayers mean nothing unless you go through Jesus to communicate to the Father. And so then they would offer up a sacrifice, but you and I, we already have a sacrifice that's been offered, and that sacrifice has a name, and that name is Jesus. And so he goes up to the temple to pray, and that's where I draw my points. My first point is the prideful prayer. My second point is the proper prayer. Notice the P's. And then the third one is the profound punishment. The profound punishment. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about prayer. For example, in 1 Thessalonians 5:7, it says, pray without ceasing. I'm sorry, 17, pray without ceasing. In Acts chapter 12, verse 5, Peter is in prison and the church prayed without ceasing. I heard Brother Rick this morning in Sunday school talk about a spell of illness, and he talked about it was through those prayers of other people who came to pray for him. See, prayer is important, and it is so important that you want it to be proper. But we get this guy who is a Pharisee who goes up into the temple along with a publican, a tax collector, and he goes into this prayer, and it's interesting because he begins his prayer in verse number 10, verse number 11, it says, and the Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you. God, I thank you. Like Philippians chapter 4 says, that he says, be anxious for nothing but everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. This guy comes with the prayer. He gives thanks. And we have to lean forward and say, well, what is he going to be thankful for? What is he thankful for? I'm curious. And you know what he's thankful for? That he's not like other men, especially this tax collector. He says, I'm not an extortioner. By the way, I want you to notice something, the parallel between his prayer and Exodus chapter 20. He says, I'm not an extortioner. In other words, I don't covet another person's possessions. Oh, I'm not unjust. I haven't violated these laws. What laws? I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. In other words, I'm righteous. I'm not without righteousness. And then he says, and I'm not an adulterer, which is also in Exodus chapter 20. But what about the other seven? He cherry picks. And he points to this guy, most likely describing the publican. I'm not like him. I don't extort. I don't rob people of their money. Does that not sound like us sometimes? Lord, I'm not like those folks down there. At least I still have a roof over my head. I'm not like those folks over there. I'm not a racist. I'm not prejudiced. I'm not like them. Well, let me tell you something. Here's the test. Are you like Jesus? Are you like him? Because it doesn't matter if you're not like them, but it does matter if you're not like him. Someone put it like this. You can't look up to God when you're looking down at others. This guy prays, he says, here's the other thing. This is interesting. He's standing by himself, but he's talking to God. This is interesting. Because actually in the Greek, it's really implying that he's praying to himself. Because no one by themselves talk to someone else. If he's standing over here by himself and talking, then he's doing a soliloquy. He's only talking to himself. That's a bad prayer. When you open with God, but you stand away from God. So he stands by himself. Now, I want to point something out to you. If you all can put my passages that I requested up for me real quick. I want you to notice something. He says, he's standing by himself. He prayed thus. He says, do me a favor. Count the number of the times he uses the personal pronoun I. Let's do it together. He says, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. How many times did he use the word I? Five times. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Let's count the I's again. This is the devil. This is Satan. Let's count them again. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of the assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol to the far reaches of the pit. How many eyes? Five. His prayer was like the arrogance of Satan. Five times he used the word I. And that's why we call it the prideful prayer. The focus of his prayer was not to glorify God, but to glorify himself. Can you imagine this man in a community serving? He would only serve people who look like him. They wouldn't be like Jefferson Avenue that comes to Florissant, that comes to Calvary. They would only go to a church where people mirrored them. They like their own reflection. Can I point something out to you real quickly? You know what blew me away? I was reading this the other day in the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem and the Bible says he fell down on his face. You know what I thought about? Can you see your reflection in dirt? And he's on his way to serve all of us. And he doesn't look in the mirror. He looks at the dirt and he says, not as I will, but thine will be done. The most beautiful face that has ever been seen is the face of Jesus. And he doesn't put it in the mirror to save us. He puts it in the dirt. He falls down. He who made the dirt stares at dirt and goes on to Calvary to save us. So those who fail at glorifying God can now glorify God in the very bodies where they rebelled against him because of the faithfulness of Jesus. This man does this prideful prayer. Let me get to my next point. We see the prideful prayer, but we also see the proper prayer. Look at the proper prayer. But the tax collector, standing far off, will not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Wow. He's not the subject of his prayer. He's the object of his prayer. He's not the subject, but he is the object. Let me show you what I mean. If you said Robert kicked the ball, Robert is the subject. The ball is the object. And how far the ball, the object, goes is based on how far Robert kicks it, who's the subject. He didn't make himself the subject, but he made himself the object of his prayer. God, be merciful to me. You know what's interesting? This man uses few words, but the other man uses plenty of words. And he never says I, but he says me. And when he says me, he says, I love it. Be merciful. In the Greek is so beautiful. The English kind of tones it down just a little bit. But if you don't mind, let me clarify for you. In the Greek, it's more like this. God, be mercy to me. Do you know the difference? Let me show you the difference. God, give me strength so I can be strong. In other words, God, can you send me some strength? Can you send me some abilities? That's one way to say it, and that's the way we have it in our English translations. But in the Greek, it's not, God, DM me some mercy. Send it to me through TikTok. Send me an email so I can have mercy. No, it's God, be mercy for me. So the question is, when did God become merciful? It was at the cross. Do you know God did not? The only way he sends mercy is by sending his son. When he sent his son, he sent mercy. When he was on the cross, he was mercy. Every born again believer does not need mercy sent through an email. God, Jesus, the Son of God, is mercy himself. So he said, God, be mercy to me. And God has become mercy to you. Do you not know, you old sinner? You old rebellious one of past? Do you not know that God has been merciful? That is the most precious message your ears could ever hear, is how merciful God has been in your life, not by sending it, but by being it. He is merciful to me, a sinner. And let me give me my last point. My last point after the prideful prayer, the proper prayer, is a profound punishment. This is interesting. Verse 14, he says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. That's interesting because the order is reversed. When he started with the guy with the prideful prayer who does this long prayer. But now he's called the other guy. And the publican is called this man. Here's the other thing. The long prayer, look at our text. It says he doesn't go down justified, but this man does. And then this statement is added at the end. It says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Now, can I just point two words out to you? One is active, when you're actively involved in something. And the other one is passive, when something happens to you. In this clause towards the end, it says, the one who is actively exalts himself, the one who is pursuing to be exalted, the one who lives his life trying to be in the front of the line, the one who tries to get ahead of everybody else, the one who thinks he's superior to other people, who lives his life in this way, will actively be humbled. And the one who is actively engaging in humility, the one who is pursuing Christ-likeness, the one who humbles himself enough to say, as Paul did, I'm crucified with Christ in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul is saying, yes, I live. I have purpose. I have function. I have desires, I have needs, I have wants, I have ambitions, I have drive, because I'm alive. He says, but the reality is, I'm not. He says, but I really am. And the life I'm living now, I have desires, they're his. I have ambitions, they're his. I have a will, they're his. And my prayers are focused on his desire for my life. I want to close with this thought and call Pastor Brandon up. Here's a quote as he comes. When a nobody, this is really about when a nobody becomes somebody, and a somebody becomes nobody. Thank you. Thank you, David.
If the praise team would go ahead and come. At the end of the day, we see the gospel message wrapped up in the story of a humble prayer. What does it mean to come to the Lord with a haughty attitude, thinking that we can come on our own accord by our own strength, and that person would leave unjust? But the way that we come to the Lord is humbly submitting to him and recognizing our need before the Lord. Man, we have great need. Apart from him, we can do nothing. But he has made the way to be mercy for us. I love the way you put that. He is mercy for us. What do we need to come into the presence of the Lord? We don't come in by our own accomplishments. We don't come in our own strength. We come in under the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. So today we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And the Lord's Supper is a reminder. It is a reminder that we don't come before the Lord in our own strength, but by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We come before him through his blood and his mercy. And we have confidence before the throne of grace, not because of our works, but because of the work of Jesus Christ. So in just a moment, Tyler is going to lead us in singing. And as we sing the first song, we'll go to the back of the auditorium and we will get the elements for Lord's Supper. So you'll get the wafer and the juice, bring it back to your seat. And then after that song, we will take communion together. As we sing this first song, it is an opportunity for us to confess our sin before the Lord. I think this is a great opportunity to search our hearts and say, where have I been prideful? Where have I been trying to puff myself up by looking down on others? Where have I been relying on my own strength? Ask the Lord to reveal any other sins that may be in your life that aren't directly related to your pride. Maybe there's just been ways you've been being selfish. Maybe there are things that you have been coveting. You mentioned that one. Maybe our desires have been taken off the Lord. This is a time for us to focus, to remember who Christ is and what he has done and what he has called us to. And then it's a time for thanksgiving. It is a time to praise the Lord that he has done what we cannot do on our own. It's a time to thank him for his great sacrifice. It is a time to thank him for his grace and his mercy and for the forgiveness that he's shown us. Would you pray with me, and then we can get the elements as we sing. Lord, we are so grateful for your blood that was spilled for us and for your body that was broken. What an amazing act of love. Father, we did not deserve it. We have not earned it. But because you loved us, you bore our sin and shame on the cross. But Lord, you in your power raised Jesus from the dead. Lord, you brought life back. And Father, in Jesus Christ, you have given life to those who believe. Father, I pray that as we go into this time of communion and reflection, you would remind us of the sin in our life, Lord, and that you would give us the humility to confess that sin, just like this tax collector did in this parable of Jesus. Lord, help us to have confidence that we receive mercy when we come to you. And Lord, I pray that you would give us a spirit of thanksgiving, that we would turn our hearts to you and be glad. It's in your name we pray. Amen.